Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, the 25th of June, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we'll be reading in the big book, There is a Solution, page 27, the third paragraph down, beginning with He Said to the Doctor, through two paragraphs ending with An Alcoholic of Your Description. And we'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Tanya P., The 12 Traditions, Yvonne A. The readers of the text are Alex K. and Marie M. The share ID for Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, June 24th, is 21,511. That's 21511. And Tuesday, June 25th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,516. That's 21516. And our newcomer greeter is Hillary B. And our announcements person is Betsy H. Thank you all for your service this month and all those who substituted too. Away preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. This is Tanya P., recovering in Michigan. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Tanya P. I will now ask Yvonne A. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, fellows. This is Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. And these are our 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater, overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Yvonne A. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter There Is a Solution on page 27. And we'll be starting with the third paragraph down, he said to the doctor, through two paragraphs ending with an alcoholic of your description. And I will now ask Alex K. to get us started. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Hi, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater. I've been given a reprieve for today. He said to the doctor, is there no exception? Yes, replied the doctor, there is. Exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast aside to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. In fact, I've been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement within you. With many individuals, the methods which I employed are successful, but I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. Well, I feel like this has happened for me, vital spiritual experience, thinking has been changed, emotional displacements and rearrangements. It's as if my brain cells have been rearranged. The ideas and attitudes that once were guiding forces in my life no longer are. It used to be that the guiding force was, I need to eat to numb myself. I need to avoid feelings at all costs. Very self-centered and selfish, afraid of everything. And getting my fix was the most important thing in my life. That was my only solution. I relied on self-will. I had no connection or concept of a higher power. And that has been cast aside. Not suddenly, it's been slow and gradual, but profound. for a new set of conceptions. Now my thinking is so different. I have a new solution, a new guiding force. I don't want to hurt myself with food. I know compulsive eating won't make anything better. It'll make everything worse. I can feel all my feelings. I can sit with uncomfortable feelings and move through them. I don't feel the need to escape life. I'm much less fearful and less self-centered, becoming more and more higher power-centered every day. And that's the best and most amazing part of all, that my strong connection with my wonderful higher power, a constant, loving, compassionate spiritual presence who I can always rely on. And I have so much more peace in my life. And these are dramatic changes in my thinking, which I couldn't have made happen. My focus is no longer on food. It's fuel for my body. It's not my solution. My focus is spiritual growth and being of service. And all this is evidence of my higher power changing my thinking and healing me. I really am experiencing that psychic change that the appendix talks about. My guiding force now is my higher power, connecting with my higher power, trying to do my higher power's will. And that's really a miracle. So grateful for this new way of life I've been given. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much, Alex Kay, for getting us started. Alex from California. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we are on page 27, the third paragraph down. He said to the doctor, reading through two paragraphs ending with an alcoholic of your description. And now I will take some names of those who'd like to share.
Karen K. Z. in Missouri. Eureka.
Wait a minute. I got Karen K. Z. I got Karen K. Z. I heard Wendy now. Who else?
Robin P.
Robin, I got you. Karen K. Z., Wendy B., Robin P.
Vanessa G.
Vanessa
and
G.
Deb S.
Deb S.
Yeah. Jordan L.
Jordan L. Who was that? Anyone else? Okay, I'll go through this. We'll stop here. I have Karen K. Z., Wendy B., Robin P., Vanessa G., Deb. I think it was Deb G. It might be Deb. It was Deb F. Deb F. And Jordan L. All right, everyone else, mute your phone except Karen KZ, and please tell us where you're calling from. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. And I just love this paragraph. Of course, we say that often. But I think, for me, the idea that it says the guiding forces of Elias are suddenly cast us to one side and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. And that's the real change that's happened for me. And it's really only happened because I've actually invited God to take over. Because on my own, and still if I go back to my own, which I do sometimes, life just doesn't work. And so the miracle of it to me, and actually in that spiritual experience part, it says a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. And that's been to me the secret of my recovery, and the secret to me for my happy, joyous, and free, is to really keep inviting God to take over everything, not just when I have a problem, but to take over all my thoughts, all my words, and all my actions, because God has a much better plan. I'm in the middle of a kitchen remodel, and everything, as some of you know who've done these things, does not go according to my script and my plan. But for me, fortunately, when these things come up, I'm able to just turn it over and to say, I know that I'm being taken care of and that this plan is the one that's going to work out fine. And everything doesn't have to be about me and about my script and about what I want, and I don't have to be comfortable. And by the way, that's what I prefer. I want to be comfortable all the time. But now I know that when I have discomfort, I just ask God to remove that and direct my attention to who He would have me be. And that's to get out of myself and serve others. So I'm just so grateful for this program, for all of you in this fellowship, and for this meeting. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Wendy B, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona. And I just love this paragraph. And the big book says, a spiritual experience is having a God consciousness followed by a vast change in feeling and outlook, a profound alteration in his reaction to life. And, you know, the ability to tap into an inner resource called, you know, a higher power. And a phenomenon is a rare or significant event that can be seen. And so this is a noticeable change in us. You know, we can recognize that our motives are not as selfish. You know, we find we're growing, you know, we have a growing desire to help others, you know, a growing desire to make healthy choices, a growing desire to find healthier ways of relating. You know, a willingness to tell the truth and admit our mistakes, a willingness to ask for help and advice, you know, when we need it instead of living in isolation. And, you know, we have a willingness to be productive with our time, you know, no longer squandering it in selfish pursuits. And we have a willingness to be financially responsible, you know, to work hard and no longer be lazy, you know, wanting others to provide for us. And, you know, and we learn to be good workers, you know, how to be accountable and how to carry responsibility well. And we learn how to have balance between self-care and serving others. You know, and we learn how to have discernment and wisdom in relationships and how to say no and have boundaries and around harmful behavior, and, you know, that impacts us. And we learn how to prioritize, how to know what's the most important, you know, when we have a choice between two good options, you know, how to discern what God's will is, you know, and these are just all huge changes in the way we do life, you know, and it's just so rewarding and just remarkable, you know, to live this way. And thank you for letting me share.
And thank you very much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Up next is Robin P., followed by Vanessa G. Good morning, Robin. Press star one.
Oh, wow, I was talking to myself. Thank you, Mo. I'm Robin P., and thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a really grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And just so grateful to be on this meeting today for all of your service. You know, oh, my gosh, that paragraph just completely speaks to me. Oh, wow, I was just so hopeless. And I had tried treatment centers. I had tried, you know, day treatment. I had tried so many things. Literally, it's got to be God. I was the hopeless variety. So it has to be God. And I'm so grateful. You know, I've over 8 years of abstinence, one day at a time, by God's grace and mercy. And through, you know, traveling through Europe, all kinds of things that I would never have been able to do before. So many things. You know, moving to Costa Rica for half the year. Just all these miracles of how good can I let my life be and how can I continue to be of service to God and my fellows and show up and to be a blessing in all my affairs. You know, I'm so grateful. I mean, I'm looking out at the ocean and the mountains right now, and you know, I have such a blessed life. And I used to live alone in an apartment in New York City and then in LA, just completely alone and bereft and wanting to die. And it's literally like not even the same planet, that fourth dimension. And it's all from working the steps, having a God squad, being of service to God and my fellows, and one day at a time, work and living in 10, 11, and 12, you know, and sponsoring, being sponsored, just all of those miracles of the we. You know, I always remember, you know, illness and begins with I, and isolation begins with I, and wellness begins with we. And the more we have, the better I do. I'm so grateful for this fellowship and for all the solutions and all the miracles. We're literally walking miracles, you know, trudging that road of happy destiny. It's, every day is a miracle of grace. I was such a low bottom, and I'm so grateful to be able to live my life fully, abstinently. And food is my medicine today. I'm an organic, gluten-free vegan. You know, I really do my best to really feed myself food that feels very nutritious to me. Instead of, I just ate poison, unconsciously kept eating poison all the time. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Up next is Vanessa G., followed by Deb F. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone on the line. Thank you for being here for my recovery. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. This paragraph ends with a footnote, and it says, you know, see Appendix 2, which is entitled Spiritual Experience. And I just want to read a couple of lines from that. It says, with few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. You know, when I came to 12-step recovery, my ideas and emotions and attitudes were completely different from what they are today. I came with the idea that God is a delusion, totally a creation of man. My emotions consisted mainly of fear and anger, and my attitude was totally self-centered. You know, all the answers had to come from myself. Whenever I was faced with a problem, whenever I had to encounter life on life's terms, I looked to myself for the answers and found it completely lacking. You know, circular thinking over and over and over again, particularly after something had already occurred. I would think about it over and over and over again. My life was empty. As a result of, you know, going through these steps, you know, getting to that 12-step, promise, having had a spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, my ideas, my emotions, and my attitudes have changed. You know, I do have an inner resource this time. Now, at this point, I can call upon something else besides myself, a power greater than myself. God is now everything. God is love. And most of my emotions, to tell you the truth, at this point, consist of, you know, love and tolerance, you know, serenity. You know, actually peace. I don't think in circles so much anymore, hardly ever. And when I get caught, I know that there's something, you know, some good instructions contained in this book to help me get to a place of back to love, tolerance, and serenity. All of this comes from my new attitude. And that's an attitude of myself, I am nothing. You know, I guess that's probably humility, but I know now that I can't turn just to myself. I have to have the help of a higher power to figure this thing called life out, to figure out, about anything, just to have courage and the ability to live. Thank you for calling on me, and I appreciate the opportunity. Bye.
Thank you very much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Up next is Deb F., followed by Jordan L. And after Jordan, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Mo. This is a great reading. And I am recovered in Texas, but I'm not cured. It's one day at a time. I have a tendency to be more on the emotional side than anything, you know, my decisions and everything. But it's so good to have run everything by my higher power, like thy will not mine be done on a daily basis. And you know, the simple disciplines that we do here, you know, making our calls. Sometimes I never know who I'm going to get on the other end of the call. But it's just amazing because I get to listen to people and let them be heard like I wanted so much to be heard and felt like I wasn't for so long. And just know that I am heard by my higher power, who can see, has a 30,000-foot view of everything that's going on, and has lovingly guided and directed me to this program. So I just know that a lot of my decisions earlier in life, before I was recovered, were very emotional, and it was easy to manipulate me in my family of origin. Now I'm learning other ways that, you know, I have boundaries and I don't have to do something just because you said so. I can run it by my higher power. I can, have a food plan that works for me, that came from my nutritionist, one that I communicate often with, and she with me. And, I don't have to live alone, isolated, trying to figure everything out, because this is not Figure Out Anonymous, you know. This is like lay it down and surrender. Surrender all of my ideas, whether I think they're great or not, because those great ideas get me in trouble sometimes. You know, maybe they're before their time, you know. And I just know I'm safe and protected when I listen to, you know, what I believe is the voice of my higher power instead of my own wonderful and great ideas so that have gotten me in trouble many times before. But, you know, sometimes they've worked out, just like Bill, you know. Hey, you know, he considered he was going to be head of Great Enterprises. Hey, he was. Alcoholics Anonymous. So anyway, I just am grateful today. And I get to laugh at myself and be okay with it. So anyway, with that, I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Deb F. And before I take Jordan L., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're in the chapter, There Is a Solution, page 27. The third paragraph down, he said to the doctor, reading through two paragraphs ending with an alcoholic of your description. And after Jordan, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating the meeting for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. what a paragraph, huh? Like being on the other side of I don't know, I guess being recovered, quote unquote, right? It is it's easy to talk about like how great life is now, right? And how easy things are and how it comes and stuff after practicing this stuff for a while. And we've heard lots of great examples about the results of a vital spiritual experience, right? Because that's really what this paragraph is about. And I don't know, I guess what strikes me about it is how impossible it sounded when I first got here. And you know what's wild is, like, when I say I first got here, like, what I'm talking about is when I first got here, I even had experience with the 12 steps and had experienced some, like, really miraculous things. But as far as, like, removal of an eating disorder, no way. That was impossible. Absolutely 100% impossible. And it really was. It was compulsive overeaters on this meeting specifically, there's a pretty powerful message on this meeting that talks a lot about this, about huge emotional displacements, rearrangements, about a type of selfishness. And it's not even like, I look at that now and I don't like the selfishness that I had, that my life was centered around. It wasn't malice. Like, it was survival, you know, like food and my eating disorder was how I survived this world, you know, like that's how I walked through it. And so to consider that, like how life could be without that and what it was going to take to stay abstinent. I was like, God damn, I'm going to need a miracle. You know, like nothing short of that is going to keep me abstinent. And I felt like the compulsive overeaters on this meeting specifically got that. They knew what I was talking about, you know. And yes, like I've had that vital spiritual experience today, and my life is very, very different for sure. But it doesn't happen in the way that I have planned for it to happen. That's kind of the point, is that I'm willing to let go of my little plans and designs, you know? So thank you for letting me share. That's it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jordan L. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Larry G.
Oh, I heard two of you. I heard Larry and there was another person in there.
Hillary B.
Hillary?
Yes.
Got
B
you.
B as in boy.
I got you, Hillary B.
Kelly L.
Another person. Kelly L. I got you, Kelly.
Roy C.
Roy C. Got you, Roy. Anyone else? Okay, so I have Larry G, Hillary B, Kelly L, and Roy C. Everyone else mute your line except Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. Larry G from California. Oh, wow. I know it's been said this is a textbook, but to me it's a book of poetry. When Bill wrote this, it's just beautifully, exquisitely written. Today, it's no longer about me. It's about the new person and the person who still suffers. I just want to give it back. That's, you know, a major part of my program. And I want to say to the new person that this, all these wonderful things that we talk about on this line, it will happen, but it's overwhelming. It was overwhelming to me in my first 60 days. You were telling me just do it one day at a time. I couldn't even do it 1 hour at a time. And my sponsor said, hey, do it 1 hour at a time. And I was doing it 1 hour at a time. So the promises actually come true on page 83 and 84. It's the last paragraph that is on both pages. That's been my experience. Right now, Dr. Young is talking about surrender, which is, to me, is the most vital ingredient and any 12-step program. And I guess I didn't get that memo. It took me a long time to surrender. And I had the vital experience on May 18th, 2020. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I knew I was going to go out and eat. I knew I was going to buy a couple dozen of this and a tub of this and a bag of this. And I was just going to destroy myself. And I remember the thought that I was 2 months away from 39 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said to God, I said, this is what sobriety looks like. Just take me now because this sucks. And at 7:50, I had the vile experience. I knew in my heart that I never would have to eat compulsively again. I know we do it one day at a time, but I just knew that God had removed the obsession. And so these things that we talk about, all these wonderful things, don't even worry about that. If you're new to this program or in relapse, there's no hope. There's no hope for me until I surrender. And I have to surrender to the point where I no longer believe I am a normal eater and that a power greater than myself will relieve me of the obsession. I've been traveling the last 8 days to some of the most beautiful parts of America. And my favorite restaurant was the gas station mini marts. That's where I did the damage. And I could tell you, we put probably 2,000 miles, 3,000 miles on touring the western states. And it never even occurred to me to go in to eat from those stores. We stayed at these nice hotels that offered these free breakfasts, and there's nothing free. The only thing in there was eggs, and some of the eggs were so poorly made that I didn't eat them. And so we would buy groceries and fill our refrigerator up with, you know, wonderful farm-to-fork organic foods and eat that delicious absent food. I mean, my God, how did that happen? I had to surrender. And with that, I pass to you, Mo.
Yeah, thank you very much, Larry G. from California. Up next is Hillary B., followed by Kelly L. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, and thank you for everyone who shared. And I want to share on, it says, they appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Yes, I've had that. Ideas and emotions and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. Yes, I have had that. And my life has changed in so many wonderful ways, okay? And I could go on and on if I had time and tell you specific examples. But for me, this is a warning, because I've been in OA over 4 decades, and I now have a year and a couple months of abstinence. That's it. And I have always, when I've had these experiences in the past, I always thought, okay, I got it. I got this. I can take it from here. I thought I had arrived. I thought I had achieved something that would just continue without my doing anything except maybe showing up to meetings. And so what I know today is I can keep these miracles happening in my life, but only as long as I get out of the way, let God be in charge, and I stay focused on living in 10, 11, and 12. And instead of attacking my husband when he does things I don't like, I have to give it to God. Am I good at that? No, I'm terrible at that. I'm way better at attacking my husband than I am at giving it over to God. And I need so much help, or I'm going to be straight back down, face down in that food. And I'm going to be having my third divorce, and I'm going to be godless again. Doesn't mean there is no God. It just means I don't do what I need to do to stay connected. And so these are beautiful, beautiful experiences that I get to live one day at a time, a life beyond my wildest dreams. I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. That doesn't mean my name is in lights shining and everybody loves me and I'm famous and all that. It means this life that I have is so wonderful, but without this program, this exact same life that I have today would be miserable, because I'd be picking it apart. I'd be focusing on the negative. I'd be eating and eating and eating, and that would be my only happiness in life, my only joy, my only fun, my only excitement was food. So anyway, thank you for listening. I appreciate the time.
Kelly, where are you calling from?
Hillary.
Hillary, where are you calling from?
Southern California, Pacific time.
All right,
thank you,
Hillary. Yep, Hillary B. calling from Southern California. All right, Kelly, you're up next. Tell us where you're calling
from. Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Kelly L. from Washington State. Thank you for your service, and thanks for everybody for being here each and every morning. It's just so exciting to come back through the book. I'm almost to my 1 year birthday in a couple weeks, which is very exciting to have be this far along in program. because when I first came in and started listening to you all last summer, probably for the most part, I thought that this would not happen for me. In fact, the first sponsor I worked with, I felt very sure that my lack of being an agnostic or, maybe an atheist, I'm not sure what I thought I was going to really prevent me from being able to have the benefits that I see all of you having. And, it was one of my first steps of just letting go and trusting. And if you would have asked me a year ago, do I believe in spiritual experiences? I would have said no, but I saw them in you. And so, of course, when I read this part, the way that my brain worked was, okay, now I have this assignment. Now I have to have a spiritual experience, and it needs to be vital, and I need to rearrange myself emotionally, and, what books can I buy on that, and what meditation podcasts can I listen to, and, I've slowly learned over the course of this year is, that's part of the emotional rearrangement is to be out of myself and to stop overthinking it and to start just trusting and doing and following directions. And most of the time, the directions that I've been given by either my higher power or my sponsor or my fellows, they don't feel right. It just feels wrong. To make 3 outreach calls a day to people I don't know felt wrong. To weigh my grapes felt wrong. To apologize to people who had done terrible things to me and my family felt just to my core wrong. And once I just followed those directions and I started to see the results, then I was able to, have that other incredible blow to humility, myself, my sense of self, and acquire more humility of just because it feels wrong, means absolutely nothing. And through this program, we take action, which changes our thinking, which changes our feeling. And I never got that, 48 years of living, I always approached it, I'm going to think it, and then I'm going to feel it, and then I'm going to do it. And, that got me almost 300 pounds, just not enjoying my life at all and wanting to throw the towel in, at a young age. So anyway, if you're new and you're anything like me where you think a spiritual experience is, hogwash or, just stick around, do the next right step, even if it's what your sponsor suggests or, anyone here on the line shares their experiences.
Fine.
And before you know it, here you'll be. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much, Kelly L. from Washington State. And up next is Roy C. And after Roy, we may have time for a couple of more shares. So Roy C., you're up next.
Good morning. This
where
is
you're calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey on the east coast of the United States. And it's a little bit later in the morning than on the west coast, but I'm here and I'm grateful to be here. I'm a compulsive overeater and I continue the battle of this disease one day at a time. And the reading this morning spoke to me in that I was reading along in the copy of the big book that I have, and I've had this edition for a few years, and it was a year or so ago that I read this passage once before, and I was taking notes in it, and with a medical career, my background, I used abbreviations a lot, and the symbol for change is a triangle. And in the paragraph that we read, I saw the symbol of a triangle written on the page 6 times, and that told me that I was thinking about a change. And I also read that the spiritual awakening that can happen in the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous and AA doesn't have to be one that happens like a bolt of lightning. That it happens over time. And I believe that's what I'm experiencing. I keep at this one day at a time. I'm so glad to be on A Vision for You because it's a daily reprieve. And I can and go towards making that spiritual change and have success in my own personal battle with compulsive overeating. And so I'm going to keep coming back here, and I'm going to keep reading and listening. I thank everybody here is at the meeting, especially the moderator, because I know that's a tremendous job. Thank you all for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. And we have time for one more share. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to have you press star one to unmute. Who would like to share? Take that spot. Now's your time. Press star one.
Barbara A., California.
Okay, Barbara, you got it. Barbara A. from California.
How nice to be, just to slip right in there and be the person to be able to share today. Thank you so much. Thank you, moderator. Thank you for all your shares. So grateful to read this paragraph today, to listen to your shares. You know, a lot of times when I do this meeting, I'm getting prepared for my day, and this day is especially busy. But I do take the time to listen and to relate. That's a big part of my program, is relating to your strengths, your experience, your whole transformations, your stories of hope. And just grateful to be a part of that. And thank you for letting me share. This is Barbara A. from Central California. And I'm out. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. We have time for a quick 2-minute share if somebody would like to take that.
Hi, this is Kathy P.
All right, Kathy, you got the 2 minutes. Thank you.
Well,
where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oregon. Thanks, Mo, for your service and everyone on the line. I really appreciated hearing the shares of recovery this morning. So inspiring. Just love this meeting. I just basically wanted to claim my seat, and I'm so grateful to be in recovery today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy P. We've got a time for a minute share. We'd like to do a minute share. If not, we'll close the meeting. Anyone? All right. So we will now close with the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Joan Marie M. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggested.
Thank you, Mo. I thought I was online. I'm muted. And anyway, thank you so much for all the shares. Our book is meant to be suggested only. And I'm Joan Marie M. from Nevada, recovered by the grace of God. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. You asked him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick, if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understood God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. God bless you and keep you until then.